Now will you open your Bibles with me to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews is over toward the back of your Bible in the New Testament. And in a moment we'll begin reading in verse 13. I'm very excited to begin today our series on the amazing truth about angels. And I'm hoping that at the end of this series, you will be much more informed about what God's Word has to say about these special supernatural helpers. I first became informed about angels a few years ago when I read Billy Graham's excellent book, Angels, God's Secret Agents. In his book, Dr. Graham relates the story of missionary John Pollock and his wife who went to the New Hebrides Islands in the South Pacific. As they arrived at the island, they were the first white missionaries that the natives had ever seen. The witch doctor was afraid of them and told the tribe that they were there to kill their babies. And so on that first evening, the natives surrounded the hut of John and his wife, preparing to kill them. All night long, John and his wife stayed on their knees in prayer, and the natives never attacked. As time went past, they learned the language. They won the trust of the people, and many of them came to know Christ. The chief of the tribe became a Christian, and John asked him, he said, "We've always been curious why on that first night when you surrounded us with your spears, why you didn't attack?" And the native said, "Where did you get all those men?" And John said, "Well, it was only my wife and myself." And the chief said, "Oh no, all that evening we saw large men with swords in their hands surrounding your hut. And we were afraid and we never attacked." And Billy Graham and others, and I tend to agree, believe that this is just one of thousands of manifestations of God's special secret agents, His angels. During this month, we're going to learn what the Bible has to say about angels. I'm going to ask you to forget a lot that you might have heard from folklore or Hollywood or just your imagination. And let's focus on what God's Word says about angels. Look with me here in Hebrews 1. And Hebrews is all about the superiority of Jesus. How He's superior to angels, how He's superior to Moses, how He's superior to the law. He's superior to Melchizedek. And here in the first chapter, we read these words in verse 13. "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" Now, obviously, the answer is none of them. He only said that to His precious Son, Jesus. Verse 14, this is where we learn the job description of angels. "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" And so if you want a quick little statement, a phrase that tells us who angels are and what they do, they are spirits sent to serve the saints. There's a few S's for you. They're spirits sent to serve the saints. Now, if you ask me, Brother David, have you ever encountered an angel? I believe I have. If you ask me if I have ever physically seen an angel, I have to say to you, I'm not sure. And I hope that you would answer, you're not sure either. Why? Because flip over to the last chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 13. There's a fascinating passage of Scripture that tells us that we might have encountered angels and not even been aware of it. Hebrews 13:2. God's Word says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels without knowing it." The King James says, "entertained angels unawares." You might have encountered angels and not even known it. And I might have as well. Now, when it comes to the subject and topic of angels, there seems to be two extremes, as with a lot of things. On one hand, there are many of us who are ignorant about angels. On the other hand, there are some people who are obsessed with the topic of angels. Now, most of us would probably fit in this camp because I want to confess to you that for much of my Christian life, I was totally ignorant on the subject of angels. You've heard my testimony. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, been going to one all my life. I went to RAs and Sunbeams and training union and Wednesday night, and I don't ever recall one time hearing a sermon on angels. I'm just curious. How many of you would lift your hand and say, I've heard a sermon on angels before? Can I see your hand? Well, probably a dozen or so in here. I never heard one. I went to a Baptist university, a fine Baptist university, where I received a good education. I don't ever remember hearing one teaching about angels, and I majored in religion. I did 7 years of postgraduate work on the seminary level, and I got to be honest, in the 7 years I was at seminary, I never heard one professor say anything about angels, and I love my seminary. I even went back to my theology book, and I looked in the index, and there was not even a listing for angels. There seems to be what amounts to almost a satanic intent to keep God's people ignorant of the wonderful subject of angels. A few years ago, after reading Billy Graham's book, I became interested. I've done a study on angels in a couple of times before, and every time I present it, I learn more about it myself. Some time ago, I went into my computer, which has a concordance, and I asked the computer to print out every verse that mentions angel, angels, spirits, cherubim, seraphim, and about 40 pages, single-spaced later, I had all the scriptures in the Bible that mentions angels, almost 500 scriptures. And I was surprised, and you may be too. I didn't know the Bible had that much to say about angels. Most of us have been ignorant about it. But on the other hand, there are those today who are so obsessed with angels that it becomes something that causes them to go overboard. There is a fascination in America today about angels. USA Today had a recent cover issue about angels. This month, the Ladies' Home Journal, I believe that's the magazine, has an article on angels all around us. There is tremendous interest in the secular world about angels. Sophie Birnbaum has published two best-selling books, secular books, one entitled The Angel Book, the other Angel Letters, and the secular world out there is fascinated. The problem is the New Age religion has embraced the idea of angels because New Age is anything goes anyway. And they step over the line and they start talking about the angel within. And they talk about getting in touch with your angel, which to them is nothing but a channeling spirit that they use. Very satanic. But there's a lot of misunderstanding and misconceptions about angels out there. There's a great commercial interest in angels. There's a store in Denver, Colorado that's ready to franchise across America. The name of the store is Everything Angels. And you'll be probably seeing them in malls here in Texas. All they sell is angel figurines and little angel pins. And those things are selling like hotcakes. It's trendy. It's the fad. And some people have become obsessed with it. As with a lot of spiritual issues, friends, the truth remains between these two extremes. Let's don't be ignorant about angels. Let's learn what the Bible says about them, but let's don't become obsessed with them. Let's learn what God's Word says. Now, I want to say again, you've heard me say it many times before, I am basically a biblical Christian. Where the Bible speaks, I believe it. Where the Bible's silent, I'm silent. And I want to ask you, throughout this study of angels, is to commit yourself to believe what God's Word says about angels, not what you read in a magazine article, not what somebody says happened to them, but what God's Word says about it. And so today, what I want to do, and which is basically an informative teaching kind of message, is I want to separate the fantasy from the facts. We're going to study five of the fantasies of the world about facts and compare them and contrast them to the facts of the Word. Fantasy number one, and this is your outline. Angels are human beings who have died. That's the fantasy. A lot of people out there think that's who angels are. Angels are people who've died and gone to heaven, and somehow they get wings and they become angels. Here's the biblical fact. Angels are spiritual beings created by God. Now, where did we get the idea that angels are human beings who've died? Well, a lot of folklore, a lot of Hollywood, and I want to confess to you that a lot of us got our doctrine from angels more from Hollywood than we did from God's Word. This month, I'm probably going to watch It's a Wonderful Life again, because I love it, don't you? In that movie, Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey, who gets in financial trouble, and George Bailey finds himself on the edge of a bridge, and he's decided to jump into the icy water and take his life so his family can earn his life insurance policy. And you know, just at the right moment, his guardian angel, and I want to put quotation marks around that, comes along. It's a guardian angel played by Henry Travers, sort of a bumbling kind of guy. And his name is Clarence. And Clarence sets himself out to save George Bailey and to prove to him that life without George Bailey really wouldn't be very good at all. And you know the rest of the story. How finally at the end, Clarence says he's trying to earn his wings. You see, he's only an angel second class. He's got to earn his wings because he's a guy that died in the 1800s and he's been working for years to earn his wings. And at the end of the movie, when everybody's gathered around the Christmas tree and all the townsfolk are bringing in the money to help him pay off his debts, you know, they're standing there by the Christmas tree. And this is about the time that it becomes a 2 or 3 tissue movie, if you know what I mean. And everybody's singing and the bell at the top of the tree rings. And little Juju says, "Teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings." And Jimmy Stewart looks up and says, "Attaboy, Clarence." Boy, isn't that great? Well, folks, I want to tell you, that's Hollywood, not God's Word. Listen, sometimes well-meaning Christians will say something like that. I mean, they'll have a mother or a father that dies, and they'll say, "Well, God has another angel." Well, I know what you mean. Your loved one's in heaven, but God doesn't have another angel. He has another saint who's died and gone to heaven. Sometimes families will have a little baby that dies, and they'll say, "Oh, now God has another little angel." No. You've got to separate your mind from the fact that angels are human beings who've died. And by the way, some of these so-called angel stories that you hear is people who say, "Well, you know, I had an encounter with my Aunt Gertrude who died 12 years ago, and she came to me and it was an angel." You can be sure when it's somebody they recognize that that is either a deceiving spirit or they are deceived, because angels are not human beings who've died. They are, as the Bible says, spiritual beings created by God. You might want to jot this scripture down. I'll read it for you. Colossians 1:16 tells us, as many other scriptures do, that Jesus created everything. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities." That is a word, powers and principalities, that has to do with the angelic rankings and realms and divisions. It says, "All things were created by him and for him." You see, the Bible says God knows the number of the angels. We don't know how many angels they are, but we believe there's a set number. How many? We don't know. Revelation 5:11, John said he saw 10,000 times 10,000 angels. That's 100 million. And then he said thousands upon thousands. I mean, there's a mind-boggling number of angels that God's created. But listen, the Bible never speaks about an angel getting old. The Bible never speaks of an angel dying. You never see baby angels. In fact, we know from what Jesus said that angels do not reproduce. Because he says when we go to heaven, we'll be like the angels in the sense that we won't have to marry for human procreation. And so the angels are special spiritual beings created by God. And so loose your mind from the fantasy that they're loved ones who've died and are trying to earn their wings. Well, fantasy number two. Angels appear as chubby babies with wings. Now that's the fantasy of Hollywood, that they're chubby babies with wings. Here's the biblical fact. Angels most often appear as ordinary men. They most often appear as ordinary men. Now, I don't know where we get the idea that angels are these precious little babies. Like, you know, Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go, you know. Just this past week, the ladies in our church got together and they showed their different angel figurines. And my wife collects those too. And we love those. And I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that when we really get to see all the angels, we may be a little surprised that we all thought they were little babies with little wings, when the Bible says most of the time they appear as ordinary men. Now, where did we get the idea of wings to start with? Well, you've got to understand that the Bible teaches there are different kinds of angels. There is one archangel, Michael. Now, John Milton, in his 17-volume epic, Paradise Lost, which most of us have never read the whole thing, he says there were two archangels, Gabriel and Michael, but he's wrong. The Bible only says Michael is the archangel. And then there's just what we would call, for lack of a better word, God's holy angels. You might want to call them ordinary angels, except there's nothing ordinary about them. But they don't have wings. They just appear as men. When Abraham encountered these three angels, they were just three men. In fact, he thought they were men. When Manoah who was the father-to-be of Samson, encountered this angel, he thought it was a man. He didn't know till later it was an angel. All throughout the Bible, we see angels just simply appearing as men, and the only way we know that they're an angel is, number one, either by the message they give from God, or by the fact that sometimes either their clothing or their faces are shining with the Shekinah glory of God. And so, where did we get the idea of wings to start with? Well, I'm talking about different kinds of angels. There are in the Bible certain kinds of angels called cherubim. Cherub, singular. In Hebrew, you put an I-M, it makes it plural, cherubim. In Exodus 3, we're told that the figures of the cherubim were over the Ark of the Covenant, and Ezekiel has much to say about the cherubim. And they do have four wings. And then in Isaiah 6, there's another kind of angel, seraph, seraphim. And when Isaiah sees these seraphim in the Bible, in the temple, they have six wings. Now, just because the cherubim have wings and the seraphim have wings, that doesn't mean that those ordinary holy angels have wings. And so, don't get the idea that angels are little bitty, chubby babies with wings. Most of the time, they appear as ordinary men. Fantasy number three. Some people believe that angels are sweet creatures who sing and play harps. That they're sweet creatures who sing and play harps. Here's the biblical fact. Angels are most often warriors who hold swords. Now, after the first service, a guy came up to me and he said, "You really scared me on that point because I thought you said angels were lawyers." No. I said, "Just the opposite." I said, "Angels are warriors who hold swords." Now, if you learn anything during this series, I hope that you'll stop saying the phrase, "sweet as an angel." I mean, have you ever noticed sometimes parents will look into the face of a newborn baby and say, "Oh, the sweet little angel." Well, now, that's just not based on the Bible. We get the idea that they're real sweet creatures who sing and play harps. Well, first of all, the Bible never says they ever play harps. Are you ready for this? I'm going to burst your bubble. So get ready. The Bible never says angels sing. A few years ago, I was reading W.A. Criswell's commentary on Revelation, and I read that statement. And the book of Revelation has more to say about angels than any book. And I said, "Well, that's just not true." And I set out to prove that his statement was wrong. And I tell you, after research all through the Scriptures, I did not, nor have I found to this day, a verse that ever mentions the angels singing. Now you're saying, "Why are you trying to spoil my Christmas spirit, you know? Because we sing about angels we have heard on high sweetly singing. You mean I have to change it to angels we've heard on high sweetly speaking?" Well, I just want to tell you, the Bible never says angels sing. Now some people look over there at Job 38:7 at the creation and they say, "Well, the Bible says the morning stars sang at the creation." Well, some say that's the angels, but most commentators say that it's just a personification of nature, just like when the Psalms say, "The trees of the field shall clap their hands." And Job 38 says in the very next section of that verse, "And the angels shouted for joy." I know what some of you are saying. "Well, Brother David, what about over there in Luke chapter 2, you know, when the shepherds right there in the field and Jesus was born? Didn't the angels come and sing glory on earth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men?" No, we always sing it in the musicals, Mike. But the Bible says they spake that. And any Greek student who took Greek, one of the first Greek verbs you conjugated was the Greek word lego, which means to speak. And that's the very word that's used there. And you say, "Well, what's the significance of that?" Well, this is what I believe the significance of it is, folks. I believe, according to the Scriptures, the only people who really sing and have the right and the responsibility to sing are God's saints. The born again. You know why? Angels have never been lost. They've never been saved. They don't know the joy of salvation. We do. You say, "Well, what about over there in Revelation? Doesn't it say that the angels will gather around the throne and they'll sing to the Lamb on the throne?" Check it out. It says they speak their praise, but the saints sing a new song. I believe that maybe sometimes there are angels in these worship services. I believe they're here. And I think sometimes they might slip up to some of us knotheads who don't sing the way we should, and they kind of nudge us and say, "Come on, sing. I wish I could sing. What a privilege it is to sing praises to God." Now, folks, based on everything I've just said to you, I cannot say categorically that angels don't sing. Well, if you can find me a verse, I'll be glad to believe it. But there's not one in there that I have ever found. All I'm saying is that the Bible never says that angels sing. Now, we may get to heaven and they sing, and if they do, I'll be the first one to come to you and say, folks, I apologize. But all I'm saying is that in the Word of God that we have, it never says they sing. Now, as I said earlier, where the Bible speaks, I speak. Where the Bible is silent, I have to be silent. And I believe that saints have the privilege of singing. Well, we're still on number three there. Angels are most often warriors who hold swords. Listen, angels are not sweet little creatures. They are mighty warriors. The first time we see angels in the Bible are in Genesis chapter 3 when God places an angel at the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword to prevent Adam and Eve from coming back. And all throughout the Word of God, we see them as soldiers. When Jesus talked about angels, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. Legion is a word for a military division. And in Isaiah 37:36, it says that in one night, one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. These are mighty warriors we're talking about. If you enjoy reading, I would encourage every one of you to get Frank Peretti's first two novels, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. They are novels, very good reading, based on the truth of invisible spiritual warfare going on around us. And I would really encourage you to read that, and your eyes would be open to a whole new world of the role of God's mighty angels. Well, here's fantasy number four. Some people believe that all angels are good and obey God, whereas the fact of the matter is, some angels are evil and oppose God. There are only three angels who are named in the Bible. Michael the archangel, Gabriel, who, by the way, the Bible never says he's going to blow a trumpet. That's out of New Orleans jazz, not the Bible. And the third angel who's named in the Bible is Lucifer. Lucifer, who at one time was an angel who tried to rebel against God, and he was cast out. Now we call him Satan, the devil. And he has a lot of fallen angels who are what we often call demons, evil spirits. And so you have God's holy angels, and you have the fallen angels. And that's why in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, angels have a will and they can choose. And some of them chose to rebel against God. By the way, folks, everybody in this room has heard sermons on Satan and on demons. And folks, I just think it's not fair. Let's give attention to God. Let's give attention to His holy angels. And as I said a few weeks ago, I'll never preach a whole sermon on Satan because he's not worth it. Let's focus instead on God's good messengers, His angels. Well, here's fantasy number five. Some people think that angels must be seen to be real. They must be seen. If you don't see them, they're not there. Whereas the Bible says that they're usually invisible, and they're only at times that we're enabled to see them. Oh, I'd like to see an angel, and you probably would too. I heard the funny story about a pastor who was studying about angels, and he said, Lord, I'd just like to see an angel. Can you send me one? And poof, there was an angel in his study. And the angel said, well, here I am. Would you like to take my picture? And so the pastor's looked around there and pulled out his old camera and took a picture of the angel, rushed the pictures down to the drugstore, couldn't wait till they got developed. He got his pictures and looked at them, and he was so disappointed because the pictures were all dull and blurry and you couldn't see a thing. And the moral of that story is the spirit was willing, but the flash was weak. Folks, I know that's a groaner, but the point is, I think that the spirits are probably more willing sometimes than we are. But I'll tell you why I believe that we don't see with our visual eyes angels more often than some people do. It's because I'm afraid that I would do and you would do probably what the Apostle John did in the book of Revelation. He fell down to worship an angel. And the angel said, oh no, don't you worship me. Worship God only. And I'm afraid if you saw an angel, you'd be so obsessed with that, you'd want to fall down and worship that angel. And while we study angels, our attention must completely be drawn back to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father who has blessed us with these angels. You don't have to see them. And the truth is, the fact is, angels usually work as invisible helpers. They usually work as invisible helpers. You know why we can't see angels? Let's face it. Our human perception is not all that highly developed, even when you compare it to God's other creatures. For instance, most of us don't smell very good. I don't mean personally. I mean our sense of olfactory perception is not as highly developed as other animals. If there was a dog in this room, he would be able to detect every person's individual odor. Aren't you glad you're not a dog? I'm just saying our sensory perception is not as good as even a dog when it comes to smelling. Our sensory perception is not as good as other creatures when it comes to hearing. Here again, there are other animals that can hear ultrasound that we just can't hear. There are animals that can hear infrasound, which is low sonic waves that we can't hear. Our hearing range is really only limited to a narrow band. The same is true visually. Did you know that? There are God's creatures who can see so much better than we can, even with our glasses. And hawk, an eagle, even a housefly who has over 100 eyes is able to detect things differently than we can. So just because we can't see with our eyes, that's not our fault. I mean, it's just the way we're made. 2 Kings chapter 6 is a story that all of you need to learn as we're studying angels. It's the story of Elisha, the prophet, who's gathered out against the army of the Syrians. And here they are, Elisha and his servant. And there's a whole army of Syrian soldiers against them. And the servant is very afraid. He says, "Oh, what are we going to do, master?" And listen to this. Elisha said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." And I can imagine the servant said, "What? I mean, it's the two of us. And look at all of them, hundreds and thousands of them. What are you talking about?" And Elisha prayed a prayer. He said, "God, open the eyes of my servant." And the Bible says his eyes were opened. And the Bible said he saw that the mountains were full of flaming chariots and horses and soldiers. Now those angelic warriors were there, right? They were there all along. It was just in that moment God granted Elisha's servant the ability to see it. Now, I don't want you to develop angelic paranoia. But I happen to believe sincerely that even as we're gathered right here, if God could open our spiritual eyes, we'd be amazed at what we could see even in this room. I believe there are angels here. Our eyes just aren't open to them. The Bible says in Psalms 91 that God shall give his angels charge over you. And God sends his angels to help you and protect you and to sometimes deliver messages, but they usually do it as invisible helpers. Some of you have been sending me stories, and I'll be sharing them this month, and I hope others of you will write down your stories. We have a man in our church, Rudy Turner, who said, "Dear Brother David, there's no doubt in my mind that angels exist. They are real. I have experienced their presence. My wife and I were on our way home from visiting our daughter and her family who lived in Rapid City, South Dakota. We were returning through Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, and the scenery was breathtaking. My wife would occasionally ask me, 'Where are we now?' I had the map on the car seat between us, and when I picked up the map to show her where we were, I took my eyes off the road, and the car ran off the pavement toward a canyon. When I looked up, all I saw was a steel road sign post in front of me. At that moment, some force turned the steering wheel to get us back on the pavement. The car stood up on two wheels and then came back down on all four wheels as I straightened out on the highway. Just as I regained control, a truck came over the hill, and had it been 3 seconds earlier, we would have been broadsided." He writes, "Had it not been for my guardian angel, the force that took control of the car, I would have run off the road into a canyon or been broadsided by a truck. Do I believe in angels? I sure do." Folks, you know one reason I believe in angels? I've seen the way some of you drive and you're alive today. If you'll just start looking around, God's angels are there. There was a lady in my church in Gardendale who worked in downtown Birmingham at a big office building. She was going to work one afternoon. And she pulled in to go into the parking garage, and there was a car in front of her and a car behind her, and her car was on the sidewalk in downtown Birmingham. And she had her window down with her parking card in her hand, waiting to move up to put it in to activate the gate. And she heard a commotion, and there on the sidewalk in front of a bank, a man had run out apparently after a robbery, and there were some people who were trying to tackle him, and he was fighting with them. And the man had a gun in his hand, and he shot down into the pavement, and the sound of the gunshot got her and everybody else's attention. And the man turned and started running down the sidewalk, and of course her car was right there on the sidewalk. She couldn't go forward. She couldn't go back. She was frozen with fear. She said the man looked at her with her window down, with her parking card in her hand, and he must have thought she had a weapon in her hand, because he ran up to the open window of her car, pointed the gun in her face, and pulled the trigger three times. Click, click, click. And then he jumped over the hood of her car and started running down the street. By that time, some Birmingham police officers caught him, and they arrested him. And as one of the policemen was taking her statement, she told him what happened, and he examined the gun. He said, "Ma'am, I don't understand." He said, "There are 6 bullets in this gun. One of them has been discharged, and the other bullets seem to be okay." And he said, "Lady, you are the luckiest lady I've ever met." And she said, "Sir, luck had nothing to do with it." And she believed somehow God's angels protected her. You want to know how to make the angels of God really celebrate today and rejoice? Jesus said there's joy in the presence of angels over one person who repents. And if you're here today or watching by television, you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. If today you will say no to your sin and yes to Jesus and trust Him, there'll be holy celebration that takes place. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for Your Word that teaches us in every subject. And I ask that everyone in this room and watching by television will live this week with a heightened sense of awareness of what's going on around us that we can't even see. And Lord, I even pray that You'll help some of us to remember experiences of our past that were such an amazing, miraculous experience of deliverance that it had to be from You. And Lord, we're thankful for those times that angels have ministered to us and we didn't even know it. We look to You as the One who loves us so much that You even provide those angels to watch us and protect us. And now take this word and plant it in our hearts. I pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.